Weary of her footing, Carol headed through the jumble of smashed concrete and sparkling salt crystals to reach the ruins and slipped past a collapsed piece of a building, ducking to avoid having a lamppost hit her head. Once on the street, the woman weaved through the posed corpses, marveling at the amount of metal they wore as ornaments. It was on their wrists, fingers, ears, and one female even seemed to have it in her tongue and nose. She had to have been very bad for her husband to torture her like that. The corner was free of cars, and Carol paused at the entrance of the parking lot, listening hard, her rapid fire balanced in both hands. On the other side of the fence, the mill wags were parked in a paved lot, and more corpses and fatigues lay on the hard ground, with blasters and clipboards scattered nearby. The wisps of smoke moved eerily over the streets, the grinning bodies staring out through the closed windows with sightless faces. Carol shivered from the feeling that thousands of eyes were watching her every move. But her unease grew from the shadows of the tall buildings, most of them higher than anything she had imagined, 5-6 stories tall, reaching toward the very stars. Carol fought the urge to say a prayer to the Ancient Ones and beg pardon for entering their lost world. And the carrion birds were everywhere, feeding on the dead. Although she knew the scavengers were terrible cowards alone, they were brave in a group and might attack if provoked. The sooner another wife came down, the better. Swallowing hard, the woman squared her shoulders and started for the nearest truck in the convoy. The millwag was huge, many times larger than the APC, and the rear doors had flopped open, spilling out the cargo. At first, she thought they were food packs, those MRE things her husband spoke about so avidly. Checking inside the vehicle, she found even more of the objects, hundreds upon hundreds of small green squares. Then Carol realized they were actually cubes. A big rig full of plastic cubes, thousands of them. She had absolutely no idea what they could possibly be. Listening to the moan of the wind, Carol lifted one and held the cold cube in her hand, half expecting it to vibrate or radiate warmth. But the cubes were as inert as the sec man guarding the convoy. Reluctantly exiting the truck, Carol went past a couple of empty Hummers and started for the tank. A corpse lying across the top, halfway out of the hatch, showed how to gain entry. But she already knew how to get inside such a war wag, where the live shells would be stored, and how to release the catches holding the ammo in place. Then she slowed, realizing that it was pointless to raid the big machine. Each shell was almost too big to carry, and even if she got it to the APC, there was no way to shoot the ammo. Forgetting the heavy brass, Carol went to the rear of the tank and rapped on the spare fuel can strapped to the side. She was rewarded with an answering slosh. Fuel to spare. Dragging a can over to the cable, she attached the hook and watched as it was hauled upward and out of sight. As the empty cable started snaking downward once more, Carol got the next two fuel cans and sent them up together, the winch handling the load effortlessly. Good. This would save a lot of time. Choosing the next target, the woman headed directly for the APC sitting on top of a smashed Hummer, a pile of corpses wearing camo uniforms crushed beneath the war wag. Even from here, she could see the sealed plastic tubes of the lawgivers amid the wreckage. Those were the best. Pre-dark rocket launchers that could destroy even the largest war wag. With only one of those, her husband could ace the traitor from a safe distance, though she had to have immediately. Then she would do the LAV-25. Since it had a rapid fire and a 25mm cannon mounted on top, there should be lots of linked ammo stored inside. Maybe even fresh chems for the smoke generators. Her husband would be delighted over such a find. But this was more than she could carry. There was so much to take. Turning toward the cliff, she fingered a message for Kathleen to come down. Standing dangerously close to the edge, the busty woman nodded and stepped out of sight. Returning, Kathleen slipped over the edge, and the cable started extending with the woman dangling at the end. As the woman landed, Carol helped her loose from the hook, and they returned to the park. Kathleen went to explore the APC, as Carol started straight for the Hummer. Passing the tank, Carol heard an odd sound. Curiously, the woman turned to see a machine of some sort come out of the war wag and start toward her. Its body was composed of chrome rods, The domed head fronted by two enormous red crystal eyes and both of its weird flexible metal arms tipped with scissors. Was it some sort of device for farming? To harvest crops? Born and raised in the desertville of Rock Point, Carol had never seen anything vaguely similar before and couldn't even hazard a guess to its purpose. However, it was still working, so maybe her husband would want it for parts. As she approached, the machine suddenly reached out, and she automatically jerked backward, the scissors snapping closed only a hair away from her throat. Carol had actually felt the passage of the metal on her skin. The woman unlimbered the rapid fire and hosed the Predark device with a stuttering stream of 9mm rounds. At this range, it was impossible to miss, and almost every round hit the Sec Hunter droid, but merely bounced off its armored body. Now the droid charged again, the twin scissors closing with a loud crunch, and she saw that the barrel of her blaster was cut off at the magazine. Nuking hell, it was a guardian of some kind. Firing wildly, the panicked woman could barely control her weapon without the aid of the barrel, and she hastily backed away, trying to shout for help, the impulse returning unbidden after so many years of being rendered mute. Then her weapon jammed, and as the droid reached for her face, Carol turned and ran blindly into the street, bouncing off the dead cars and rattling the ancient occupants. Then, cutting through a courtyard, she ran through a feeding flock of buzzards, hoping the birds might distract the machine. Screaming in outrage, the carrion eaters erupted into flight, and while the urge to look was strong, Carol dared not risk a glance to see if the trick worked. Pelting down the street, the woman zigzagged through the rubble and dashed under the crashed lamppost. Unable to hear anything but her own rushed breathing, she scrambled up the rubble, feeling a rush of relief that the cable was still hanging in place, waiting for her return. Rushing for the hook, Carol tripped and landed hard, losing her blaster, and a hand went straight onto a cluster of salt crystals, the sharp prisms stabbing through her palm like glass daggers. Writhing in agony, she pulled her hand loose just as the jingling noise came again from behind. It was here! Blasters started shooting suddenly from above, the rounds hitting everywhere nearby. Safe for the moment, the woman reclaimed her rapid fire and savagely yanked the arming bolt of the boxy 9mm Ingram SMG, finally freeing the bent casing caught in the ejector port. Firing as she turned, Carol saw only a brief flash of mirror-bright steel as the scissors stabbed into her chest. Searing pain filled her world as she saw her own blood gush onto the machine. Then the second scissors reached for her throat. Casting away the headless torso, the Sec Hunter droid swiveled its lenses skyward, easily finding the APC on the ledge. It waited a full minute for an order from the soldiers operating the U.S. Army vehicle, but when nothing was received on the proper channels, it immediately switched to defense mode. Cycling out a pair of secondary arms equipped with pliers, the droid grabbed onto the dangling hook and started to climb steadily, arm over arm. Now from above and below, small caliber rounds hit the droid. Then a nearby section of the rock face exploded thunderously as a lav rocket slammed into it. Then the damage around the smoking blast crater began to spread. Then there came the roar of a diesel engine, and the cable began to move as the APC departed the weakened section. Gripping even harder, the droid continued to climb, even as it bounced and slammed up the crumbling face of the cliff. More than once it was sent spinning away, sailing over the city, only to come crashing back against the rock with brutal force. An eye cracked, distorting its external view, and a secondary hydraulic system went offline from the pounding, but the droid accepted the damage as minimal and continued toward the enemy. The droid was only a few yards from the top of the cliff when the APC stopped moving. Redoubling its ascent, the Sec Hunter clawed its way onto the desert floor and stood just as the 25mm cannon atop the LAV-25 roared into life. Forced backward from the sheer force of the continuous detonations, the Sec Hunter tried to get out of the way, and suddenly it was falling. Unacceptable. Reaching out for the blur of rock with every arm, the machine found the cliff was just outside its range, even with the long arms fully extended. Sending out a radio signal for immediate assistance, the machine emotionlessly tried to find a solution to the problem when it hit a pile of broken concrete with trip hammer force and abruptly ceased to process information.